You know, a lot of Christians are so afraid to dive into prophecy, dive into the nation of Israel, dive into end times. You just got to take it one step at a time. You know, like steps 1, 2, and 3. And as believers, the more you read the Word of God, the more you draw closer to your, you know, yourself to the Word, the more the Lord's going to start showing you stuff, revealing stuff through the Word. You know, God didn't create the Word of God to confuse you. You know, God created it so that you, it's a love letter, so you draw closer to Him. And sometimes as officers and as firefighters, we give the most asinine excuses of why they don't like to read. Oh, I don't understand it, you know. But yet, how many hours do they train in tactical response? How many hours do they train on, you know, medical response and all this stuff? It's a matter of time just digging into the Word of God.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Here we go. Are you ready? I hope you're ready.
It's ready. Okay. All right, let's pray.
Mike, let's do it.
Jesus, we thank you for the Sunday that we were able to spend time not only at church, but now spend time as Thin Line Believers to put our focus, our heart, attention upon you, God, irregardless of what's happening in our world of crime, Lord, of what's going on with current culture and politics, Lord. We focus our hearts and our attentions upon you, God. And Lord, as we dive into the subject of today, Lord, that whoever might be listening to this, those that wear the badge as a firefighter or as a police officer or as a soldier, nurse, whatever, if they don't know you, God, I would pray that this conversation, this talk would spur their hearts open to the leading of the gospel to salvation, Lord. Will you guide our thoughts, guide our words, and bless this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's talk about the purpose of today's topic. If you heard us talking last week, we kind of gave a little bit of a teaser that we're going to start this week talking about some Bible prophecy. Why are we doing that? I think it's because we're close. And so, Josiah, if you're ready with that scripture there, you can read that. And I think this points to where we're at.
It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This: difficult times will come in the last days. For people, lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of religion, but deny its power. Avoid these people.
And so as you read that, I kind of imagine like a montage, you know, of current events, news, you know, the People magazine's covers, you know, and stuff like that, that will just prove each and every point of the scripture that you just read. And I've had the talk with some of my friends before, my believing friends, that would say, well, yeah, but it's always been like that. It's just now more accessible. You see more of this stuff because of media. And I'm not sure I agree with that. I'm not sure I agree with that because I think because it's more accessible, things like porn, I mean, it's, you can get it right here, right? You can get it right at your fingertips. And so I think the ease of sin, the ease of these things, the less, well, I mean, the three of us have plenty of experience with, you know, the the kids not obeying their parents and that kind of stuff, because ultimately in law enforcement, a lot of times we feel like we end up being sort of a parent to a lot of these kids who disrespect their parents, right? It's us who end up getting called to those situations. So I think that what you just read points to today more than ever before. And I want to read this quote from Sir Isaac Newton. It says, about the times of the end, a body of men will be raised up who will turn their attention to the prophecies and insist upon their literal interpretation in the midst of much clamor and opposition. Now, if you look around, there's a lot of people that take prophecy very literally now that maybe wouldn't have before. And I think the number one reason that we're able to take prophecy very literally right now is because something exists that we call the nation of Israel. And so this is a bit of a surprise for Mike and Joe, because I didn't tell them what we were going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Israel, because it shouldn't be a nation. Outside of the Bible, Israel should not be a nation. They were defeated. They were under the rule of Rome for a long time. And they've been under the rule of various nations, Babylon, right? And so for them to be completely disbanded, essentially removed from their homeland 2,000 years ago, and somehow miraculously in 1948, they came back. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And I thought we'd start in Ezekiel chapter 37. Because I think maybe later on in this series, maybe we'll talk about Ezekiel 38 and 39. For now, let's start in chapter 37 from the inspired New King James Version. Mike.
Yes.
Starting in verse 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put, what's that word, Mike? Sinews? On you.
I don't know.
And bring flesh upon you. Cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I think other translations actually use the word tendons there. I'll put tendons on you. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. I don't know. You think that's happened yet? I mean, here we are, 2021. It's been how many years? 73, right? 73 years since 1948. And the reason we want to talk about Israel is because there are promises made to Israel. There's a covenant made with Israel in this book. And if God doesn't have to keep those promises, then he doesn't have to keep his promises to you and me. And there's a lot of promises to you and me in here. And not only that, but Israel, as we will see, was born in a single day. So following World War II, you've got all of Israel, essentially, if they're not in the United States, if they're not elsewhere in the world, if they are in Europe, they're running for their lives by 1945 at least. And how many were there? 6 million killed, right? Does that sound right? I think 6 million.
Holocaust?
Yeah. 6 million killed by Hitler and his cronies. And so here they are. I don't know of any better way to describe them at that point than dry bones. If you've seen the photos from the internment camps, from the death camps, you'll see that they look like dry bones to me. And then from there, who'd have thought that they would ever become a nation? But in Isaiah chapter 66, I'll turn there real quick, verses 7 and 8. This is what we get right here. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Now the idea was planted for this in 1917 by something called the Balfour Declaration. If you have interest, it's interesting to research, because it was the British nation that made this declaration that never actually stuck, that they were going to make Israel a homeland for the Jewish nation as a part of Palestine. It wasn't taking Palestine over, but essentially adding Israel to that Palestine of that day. And a little side note here, Palestine, this might ruffle feathers if you support the Palestinian people. Palestine wasn't a nation. It's not like Persia with the Persian people. Palestine was basically, Romans took over Israel, and later on down the road, they changed its name to Palestine because as a slap in the face to the Jewish people, because the Philistines were basically a historical arch enemy of the Israelites. And so they changed the name of Israel to Palestine in order to kind of slap them in the face. And the people that we now call Palestinians, they weren't Palestinians. They were Egyptians, Jordanians, Syrians. So Palestine is a made-up place full of people that came there from other nations. So, little bit of history there for you. And then we had the Six-Day War later on in 1967. Interestingly, that one only lasted 6 days. Lasted Sunday through Friday. And then lo and behold, the nations of Egypt, Jordan, and Syria, who had attacked Israel essentially, gave up. And Israel still had the Sabbath to rest. Now, there's more history there with the Six-Day War, with Egypt cutting off Israel's trade routes and so on. But in 67 was when Israel regained Jerusalem and the Temple Mount and all that good stuff. But here's something that I find very interesting. Luke, verse 24 of chapter 21. Says Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So I would have thought it would be in 1967. But Israel did something very interesting. Instead of maintaining control of the Temple Mount, they handed that over, right? They let the Jordanians take control of the Temple Mount. So the Jerusalem and the Temple Mount itself are still being trampled on by the Gentiles. So here we are, first time in history, 2,000 years ago, starting in 1948, the church, since Pentecost, the church and Israel are living side by side. So I think that God is about to change his focus from the church back to Israel, and we can already see that happening right now, even with what just happened a couple weeks ago with Israel being attacked again by Iran's proxies. And let's see, I also have my notes here, and I'm not super well prepared on this, but in the 1860s, Mark
Zuckerberg?
No, the writer. In the 1860s, Zuckerberg wasn't, close enough. Mark Twain, got it. Mark Twain took a trip to the Holy Land, and this is what he wrote about it. He's a snarky fellow. It's entertaining. He said, quote, "There was hardly a tree or shrub anywhere. Even the olive and the cactus, those fast friends of a worthless soil, had almost deserted the country." And he also said, "Palestine is desolate and unlovely, and why should it be otherwise? Can the curse of the deity beautify a land?" And so now, since that time, we see that Israel has flourished. One of the top producers of fruit, one of the top exporters of produce in the area. And if you see pictures of then and now, it's nothing even close to alike. So I find that very interesting that God can take something that is dry bones, he can put his breath in it, revive it, and here we are. He can take a land that is desolate, basically rocks. There's so many rocks that they use them as headstones. There's so many rocks in that place. And I've never been. I'd sure like to. Have you been? Either of you guys?
No.
Oh, Mike, I knew it. Okay, go ahead. Take over.
No. Hey, all I did was lead worship on the Sea of Galilee and some other places.
Was it awesome?
Yeah, just to chime in, I don't want to take away from your thought. You could definitely see where it's completely desolate, but yet God has blessed Israel in that way. Because you look at all the surrounding other countries, it's pretty much a desolate area.
Isaiah 27:6, those who come, he shall cause to take root in Jacob. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the whole world with fruit. So there you go. And guys, I'm nearing the end of my notes here, so this is open forum. Come on, help me out here.
The fruit is delicious in Israel.
There you go. I think there's more that can be applied as far as what we see in Israel. Because not only does God keep his promises to Israel, but he keeps his promises throughout the Bible. God cannot break a promise. It's not possible for him to break a promise. And so I think that like Israel, currently there are a whole lot of dry bones. A whole lot of the world is full of dry bones. In fact, I'm not sure if we discussed this or not, but I saw some horrifying surveys recently talking about the millennials and younger. I don't know what X and Z or whatever, Y or whatever they call the generations younger than that. And in mass numbers, they're falling away from the faith. And at very least, they're not taking much of scripture literally. Things like Noah's Ark, the parting of the Red Sea, and stuff like that, that, you know, atheists have tried to explain away for years. And apparently it's really starting to have some unfortunate success and really taking root in some of these younger generations. And so I see a whole lot of dry bones right now that need breath desperately.
Just to chime in, since I know Josiah is gathering his thoughts, he's got the look. But in Genesis 12, we're at church today, and he mentioned Genesis 12, you know, where he says, I will make thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3 of chapter 12, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth shall be blessed. And, you know, speaking of dry bones and all, you know, you mentioned the millennials and things like that. Since we're speaking of, you know, Israel, I just realized, and I don't know if it's a Satan's tactics or not, but the more and more countries that stop blessing Israel, there's turmoil in their country. So you take a look at, you know, United States, and just recently, how many thousands of rockets were fired in from the Gaza Strip into Israel? The narrative around the liberal media is like, you know, Israel is not considering children in Gaza, blah, blah, blah. When we know that the terrorists are using children as shields. But you also look at countries that stop blessing Israel, and they end up becoming dry, so to speak, dry bones, you know, depending upon the leadership. You know, a lot of the countries like Egypt, Turkey, those countries that they might not like Israel, but they don't hate them to the point where they want to blow them up. You know, and so you got, if I'm not mistaken, when you had different leaders in Turkey, and Turkey had different views of Israel depending on who the prime minister was, you could see how God blessed and how God didn't bless. And I literally believe where it says, you know, God says, those nations that bless thee will be blessed. I mean, look at, look at the sale of arms, even through this current administration. That's a sign of God's blessing in some ways. Although it surprises me that there are Jews that are hating their own people, that I don't understand. But you're talking about millennials and all that stuff. I saw some images of college students trying to raise funds for Palestinians, or Hamas. I should add a footnote in there. When I went to Israel, some of the nicest people were the Palestinians that believed in Jesus Christ. And they, of all people, was kind of in the middle. You know, they are an outcast amongst the Jews, but yet they are loved by the small, you know, or the church movement inside Israel. And they were friendly. They were outgoing. I mean, on Sunday, they were the ones that were ministering to the tourists, the tour guides. You know, so when we went on tour with some of the Calvary chapels out there, and it happens to be on a Sunday, for example, when we're in Tel Aviv, on that Sunday, you had one elevator that was on automatic, stopped on every single floor. And then, you know, then you have the regular elevators for the Gentiles, you know, guys like me. But the Palestinians there, once they come to a saving knowledge of grace, they understand. And they understand that struggle, you know. And it's amazing, because a lot of those little, you know, like olive wood communion cups and things like that, those are all made by a lot of the Palestinians that got saved, and they're open on Sundays to minister to the Christians that are visiting. The Jews don't. There's a handful of Messianic Jews that understood that, but it's just interesting to me, you know, even this morning, you know, God says, if you bless my people, I will bless them. And for some reason in this current administration, they're trying to do away with that, you know, and I have a fear and a feeling that as the days come and the months roll, that, you know, the countries that's going to bless Israel is going to be slowly scaled back. You know, I think Amir, I figured out how to pronounce his last name, Sarvati, said that they were surprised that the Philippines voted in favor against Israel, right? And so, and it's not like the Philippines are, you know, a thriving country. Could it be in the coming days that Philippines are going to start seeing some trials because you're voting against God's people? And in the Philippines, they have their own issues with, you know, the Islamic style brotherhood over there. So, you know, looking at the nation of Israel, and I'm firm believer, not because I said it, because Genesis chapter 12 said it, hey, if you bless my people, I'm going to bless you, man. If you don't, then there's going to be some things that's going to happen. And I wonder if God takes his hands off of some of these countries and you see the turmoil. You know, like Adam, you were saying, there's a lot of dry bones. You know, this current youth growing up right now. I mean, obviously, none of us were born during the Jesus movement, but we see the fruit of it. Some of our parents were in that era. And I think it's the same mentality, the same era, disguised in various different ways, you know. And something that, you know, I just kind of molded my heart, you know, thinking about this today when we got on the podcast is, how are officers, how are firefighters, how are soldiers, how are they going to perceive all this? Because when all crap hits the fan, who goes out to the scene? First responders. And for some of us that are Bible believers and we're, you know, into prophecy and we're pre-trib, and you get a call, it makes you wonder how. The Bible says that in the last days there'll be rumors of wars, there'll be famine and all that. It makes you wonder, as first responders, how am I preparing myself biblically about, you know, Bible prophecy, you know? And if I see my coworkers that are younger, if I see them as dry bones, how can I be that, you know, I'll be a witness, so to speak. So I think that's enough time for Josiah to talk now.
No, you guys are taking it and hitting it home. I mean, we read it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. In these last days, there are going to be people who are not focused on God, but are focused on themselves and their own desires and their own, you know, gathering of homes and cars and toys. I mean, I'm sure you and all of us could look around and see those whom we work with and those around us in our around our homes, and maybe even in our own families, that are just simply denying God because, you know, they see God as a killjoy. They see God as someone who has given them a bunch of do's and don'ts and regulations, and it's no longer, you know, fun, or I can't do what I want to do. And so they just deny it completely. Right. And so, yeah, I mean, we know that the end result of a life of that is destruction, is going to be this dryness, this always seeking something new, always seeking something to satisfy that longing and that desire in my life that only God can fulfill. And Timothy would tell these guys in this letter, I mean, he would say, hey, you know, avoid such people, right? Come out from among the world. Put your focus back on God. And when we talk about the children of Israel and we talk about, you know, God's chosen people, they are not chosen because they're better. They're not chosen because, you know, they have it all together. That's who God chose, right? And God has put his blessings upon them and has given them these promises. And it is not based on anything that they could ever do. And they prove that. I think you could just go back in your Bible, open the Old Testament, and see that they attempted in all of their manly wisdom to show and prove they were better than everyone else, and it was worthless rags, right? The law will never get us to freedom in Christ. The law will never show us anything or help us in any way. We are saved by grace. It is God's blessing, God's word that has given them the land. It's not because they're you know, this amazing group of people and they're better than anyone. I mean, in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 6, he says, understand therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness. And then he adds, he says, for thou art a stiff-necked people, right? He's like, you're stubborn. You're not getting it because you're the best people on earth. You're getting it because I have said so, and I've put my blessing upon you, and God's got a plan for them. Absolutely. Just as he has a plan for each and every one of us. And yet he calls us to step out and to be separate from this world. And especially in these last days where we're going to see an increase of people drawing away from the truth and saying that, oh, well, that's good for you, but that's not my truth, right? And there is no such thing as that. There is one standard. God has set it. And if you don't abide by it, you fall. There is no other way. The only way that we could ever have hope in this life or face the things that are coming with hope and love and faith is putting it in Christ Jesus and having him as our standard and having him as our focus and living this life to fulfill and please him. That's our all and that's our purpose. And I think when we see that, just like Mike, you said, you know, we have neighbors, we have friends, we have coworkers who are dry, who are falling away and they're good people. I work with some great people who are not Christians, but they're still not saved and they still need Jesus. And that's our job in these last days, is to understand the times, understand where we're heading, understand that it's getting quicker and quicker as these birth pangs, right, increase, as we hear more rumors of wars, as we hear all of these things, is to point people back to Jesus and say, look it, stop freaking out, stop living for yourself, come back to the truth and accept Christ while you can, right? Find him while he may be found, because there's a day he's coming and he's going to blow that trumpet, he's going to break the sky. And it says that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That day is coming, but that day is going to be too late, right? So accept him while while you can, while there's time. Just like Joshua said, is for me and my house, today we choose to serve the Lord. Love the soundtrack. Soundtracks are awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that we had a little pause in there because you said a lot. Mm-hmm. I said the other day in our, we were texting each other, takes a lot of boldness right now just to speak truth. you didn't used to have to be so, you know, bold to speak what was true. But now, because of this thing called social justice that is not justice, the word just should not be in it. But because of this new thing, it's harder and harder to speak truth. And part of that involves the nation of Israel. You know, Mike, you said that you saw that clip of people raising money for Hamas. And I saw one too. I'm not sure if it was the same one. It probably was from PragerU, I think is
yeah,
the one
I
saw.
Yeah, I think
so. Yeah. And I know it was a parody or whatever you want to call it, but it was still frightening because the guy was going around a college campus. Was it in Oregon? I think it might have been at Portland State.
I think so.
And he was even explaining that, you know, sometimes we have to blow up, you know, hospitals and schools and stuff like that. But, you know, it's for the, you know, essentially for the greater good, you know. And he had people convinced. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, here's, you know, I can give you $5, $10, whatever. That's going against the truth in this word right here. And like you guys said, the Lord says, I'll bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And so in Matthew 25, Jesus talks about the separating of the goats and the sheep. And it's based on a nation's response to Israel. And so the nations that curse Israel, those are the goats, and those are going to be on his left when he's on his throne. And the nations that bless Israel, those are going to be on his right. And he goes on to say, when I was sick in the hospital, you know, when I was hungry, you fed me, you visited me. Well done, good and faithful servant, so on and so on, you know. And then those are the sheep. Those are the ones that did good. And he says, you know, those of you, the goats, essentially, I was hungry, you did not feed me. I was thirsty, you did not give me a drink. And of course they say, when did we not do this? When did we not feed you, not provide for you? And he says, you know, when you did it under the least of these, or when you didn't do it under the least of these, you didn't do it for me. And so when he says that the nations, it says all the nations will be gathered before him. That's scary. Because right now, like you guys said, I see our nation turning its back on Israel, moving towards this globalist stuff that Revelation talks about. I think maybe we'll get more into that later. But I see a lot of them headed in that direction, turning their back on Israel. And how strange is it that in a nation the size of New Jersey, that you can barely pick out if you've got a full-size map, and you're lucky if it actually says Israel. But the tiny nation has the focus of the entire world right now, as the word said that it will in the last days. How odd. Nobody looks at New Jersey from the entire world and says, wow, that place is messed up, or that place is great, or whatever. But Israel has the attention of everybody.
God's definitely blessed them. I mean, they are, you know, when you look at like their knowledge and their technology and they excel in so much because God's blessed them. Right. I mean, if everywhere around New Jersey was suffering and their focus was on gathering goods for themselves and being, you know, richer and more advanced and, you know, flourishing, then yeah, everyone would hate New Jersey because of that, right? Because New Jersey would be flourishing with all these things, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a world that is focused on gathering for themselves these riches and these sustaining, you know, we want to be the leader and the powerhouse of the world. And it's good versus evil, right? God is there. He's put his blessings upon a people and a nation. And he's saying, I'm going to provide for them, and I'm going to take care of you, and you will not be destroyed.
And you have all these other nations going, well, I want that. And they don't even realize what they're fighting for. They don't even realize that they're being driven by a force, you know, deeper and darker. And this is exactly what we've been seeing from the get-go, right? From the very day that Satan, Lucifer, stood up there and said, oh, well, I am going to seat myself up as high as God. I am going to do this. And he was looking to get that power and that rule and that reign. And that is something that he will never, ever get. As much as he tries and as much as he does it, he'll never do that. And this is what we've bought into, right? It's the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And that's what we've gone after. And Satan hasn't skipped a beat because he doesn't have to change his tactics on anything. And so you have a people who simply because God has put his hand upon them and blessed them, which is awesome. You have the world around saying, we're going to destroy you because we want what you have. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, now they have apparently a new prime minister who it sounds like is on board with this globalist stuff. Guys, this is getting insane. I mean, if ever the pages of Bible prophecy jumped at you, now is the time. I mean, you guys sent me a video. You, Josiah, sent us a video today about this, the giant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I read in Revelation 13 about this, the beast, the image of the beast being given life, like you said, Mike, just like Nebuchadnezzar's statue. This is insane. Never before have we been able to see this stuff.
No. And it's progressing faster and faster. And we can as believers get afraid, or people in general could be so afraid of these things, right? Like, oh no, what's going to happen? Well, yeah, I would be afraid if my hope is not in Christ, right? I would be afraid if my whole focus and my whole drive in this life is to gather, you know, I'm going to have my home and my car and I'm going to have my career and put my hope in the financial, you know, stability of all the banks. Man, I don't care about any of that. And I'm thankful to God that I have those things at the moment. But the greatest treasure that I have, the greatest foundation that I have in this life, no matter what comes at me, if I'm told I have cancer, if I you know, get hurt and I can't do my job anymore, you know, again, we've built up to this in our podcast, and you have also done that in podcasts prior to us joining you, pointing people to Jesus Christ. This is where we need to focus. This is where we need to make sure that we are in the center of his will, that we have his son as our Lord and Savior, and we can face these things, right? I can look at this thing, you know, this great giant thing that this dude from Ireland has created and or is wanting to create or is going to create, and just be like, wow, right? Like, man, this could be, you know, the beginning stages. We're setting up to this. I mean, it's going to get there, right? The Bible is clear on it. These things are going to happen. It needs to take place. I mean, even Jesus tells us that in Matthew. These things will take place. But you know, be of good cheer. I've overcome it, right? I am in control. And so we need to understand that, like, yeah, this is where we're going. We cannot stop it. God has a plan and a purpose for it. But when I'm anchored in him, man, I don't have to fear it, right? I could just sit back and just, wow, this is amazing.
You know, the video, it's funny. I had several people send me that same video, Josiah. And I was like immediately thinking, oh, the beast. And Adam, you mentioned that we're at a pivotal time. I think Christians need to realize that they need to wake up. You know, there's things happening in the Bible that's happening right in front of us. Now, we as believers don't have to worry about the giant, because why? We're not going to be here. You know? So therefore, where we need to be is we need to share the hope of Jesus, like you were saying, Josiah, to our family and friends, you know?
Amen.
And something that I'm slowly praying and asking the Lord to give me wisdom is to be able to make sure that my kids are going to be astute in the Word of God, that they start understanding end times Bible prophecy. You know, a lot of times pastors' kids, they think they know it all and they just kind of put everything aside. But I think in these last days, because, you know, with cancel culture, you know, social justice warriors and all those idiots, when we start seeing things, it's to get humans used to it. Ami Horowitz from Daily Wire was interviewing a bunch of people, I forget what city, who were vaccinated and they were still wearing masks. And he would ask them, like, why are you wearing a mask? And they're like, well, I'm used to it. I remember these two young college girls. So we're just used to it, you know? And, you know, I think they were maybe in New York, but they're outside and they're like, well, until the vaccinate, that the virus is completely eliminated, I'm going to keep wearing a mask. And I'm just like, what's wrong with our society? And I think I realized that a lot of things that's happening, because obviously the Bible says we don't war against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities. The enemy is getting this younger generation, even to the to children, used to doing stuff, right? They're getting used to wearing masks. They're already technologically savvy. And it's a matter of time when they do introduce like this giant. I mean, it's almost, I mean, a part of me, I'm like, that's kind of cool. You could put pictures on there. You could put images. But at the same time, knowing the Bible, just like, huh, it's kind of freaky because they're getting the human habits ready to receive something like this. And, you know, Josiah, you mentioned that quite often, you know, our hope in Christ. Christians are freaking out because, oh my gosh, it's the mark of the beast. Amazon coming out with the palm scan, how you can pay for it. I mean, if that comes out now, cool. I think we as adults are not going to worry too much, because if we're still here, that means we're not been raptured, right? Unless there's that one soul that hasn't been saved. But for the younger generation, that's going to be life for them. I remember when I was a banker with Bank of America, and when they said that they're going to have pictures on the debit ATM cards, you know, I remember back then Christians were saying, oh, that's the mark of the beast and whatever. And, you know,
then they put the little chip on it and they're like, oh no.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, I forgot who I was listening to. I don't know if it was Pastor Brett Metter or not, where all the cyber crimes that's been taking place, you know, and I'm like, these criminals could take out our infrastructure. And, you know, I know that in the Asian culture, cash is king, right? You gotta, cash is everything. And I do believe that families should save some money in cash and put it in a safe that's fireproof with your combo. Because these credit cards that we have in our pockets, if the infrastructure crashes, what's going to be king? Cash. I mean, our administration's printing billions of it, so it won't matter because it's not going to mean anything. Maybe I should start collecting some pesos. I might be have a better value. But, you know, those of us that are listening to this right now, you have to understand that the mark of the beast, this palm reading stuff, the chip, you know, that's not happening right now. You know, I recently started my devotions in the book of Revelation. And I realized when John was given revelation of Jesus Christ, that guy was boiled in oil, you know, and he didn't die. I mean, could you imagine, what's his name, who took over after Caesar's, Titus Domitian, who's trying to kill the guy. He's like, this guy's not dying, you know? So he sends him off to the island of Patmos. And I know, I've seen some burned bodies in my lifetime, and it's not pretty. And for this guy to have been boiled in a cauldron of oil and still not dying, but yet he saw revelation of Jesus Christ, you know, and he talks about who is and who was and is to come. You know, a lot of Christians are so afraid to dive into prophecy, dive into the nation of Israel, dive into end times. You just got to take it one step at a time, you know, like steps 1, 2, and 3. And as believers, the more you read the word of God, the more you draw closer to your, you know, yourself to the word, the more the Lord's going to start showing you stuff, revealing stuff through the word. You know, God didn't create the word of God to confuse you. You know, God created it so that you, it's a love letter, so you draw closer to him. And sometimes as officers and as firefighters, we give the most asinine excuses of why they don't like to read. Oh, I don't understand it, you know. But yet, how many hours, you know, do they train in tactical response? How many hours do they train on, you know, medical response and all this stuff? It's a matter of time, just digging into the word of God. And I mean, Israel having a new prime minister, I think it's their version of wanting to get rid of, Benjamin Netanyahu, because they have so much hatred for him, even though they realize under Benjamin, they're better protected, right? You just don't screw with a guy named Benjamin Netanyahu, because if you bomb him, he's going to bomb you even better, right? So there's all this stuff that he's, you know, the Iron Dome he's created and all this response he's created. Yet they're getting rid of him to bring in a left-wing, culture-satisfying dude. Who knows what's going to happen in the coming weeks and months, because, you know, all of a sudden, all the nations are on Israel, you know. They're like chomping at the bit, you know. They're like, yes, yes. You know what's their saying? Death to Israel and death to America, right? They're like, yes, can't wait. And I'm like, all right, cool. We're in the last days. You know, whoever that last soul that needs to get saved so that we can get raptured up, great. And then we can have a bird's eye view from then.
Yep. And that's the point, right? I mean, we study the Bible, we listen to, you know, men who are wiser and smarter in a lot of these areas. I mean, I follow Amir on Telegram, right? And you get update of what's happening. And I don't do that to be freaked out and go, oh no, but I do that to really, you know, be alert of the time that I'm living in, and to be able to be ready to give those around me, you know, the hope that's within me and the stability that's in my life, and that's Christ. I mean, Christ did this even to his own disciples as he sent them out. You know, he sends the 12 out and he goes, go teach to the children of Israel, to the lost. You know, don't go to other nations, don't go to Samaritans, but go to the sheep of the house of Israel. And he sends his 12 out and he goes, you know, go tell them of the hope that's within you. And he says in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 10, he says, look, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. there will be as shrewd as serpents and as harmless as doves, because people will hand you over to the Sanhedrin and flog you in their synagogues. Beware of them. You can be brought before governors and kings because of me, to bear witness to them and to the nations. When they hand you over, don't worry about how or what you should speak. Will be given what to say at that hour, because you are not speaking, but the Spirit of your Father is speaking through you. And he goes on to tell them in the rest of that chapter of 10, verses 21 through 25, that, you know, they're going to be persecuted. The brothers are going to be turning on brothers, mothers against sons and fathers. It's going to be chaos. It's going to be all this. And he tells them in verse 26, he says, therefore, don't be afraid of them, since there's nothing covered that won't be uncovered and nothing hidden that won't be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What you hear in a whisper, proclaim on the housetops. He says, don't fear those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Look, I read my Bible and I prepare my mind and my heart for the things that are happening around me, not out of fear and, oh no, and I'm going to, you know, take my family, I'm going to put them in a bunker and we're going to, you know, store up tons of food because we're going to survive. No, I'm not doing any of this to hide, but I'm doing all of this to prepare myself to be able to proclaim, just like what we're doing right now on this podcast, that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life, and that there's no other way to the Father but through him. There's no other way to be free and healed and protected from what is to come by choosing today whom you will serve, and by walking that walk, living for him, and then getting as many as we can right now while we have the time into the family of Christ, so that we can be, you know, brought to security, and we can have hope. I mean, that is why we prepare ourselves. That's why we're doing this. And if these words outlast us and you hear these words, you know, when there's utter chaos and there's drama going around, fall to your knees and accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. That's the only way that you're going to live.
I like that Josiah always has a way to bring it back around to the gospel. That's awesome.
Missionary.
That's right. So we don't really have much, right? But we have our voices, and that's why we're here. But I think that's significant. And all of you that listen to this thing, you have a voice too. And you have ears that'll listen to you. And the word of God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And there's even more. I was reading 2 Corinthians the other day, and Paul talks about, I know a man who was taken into the third heaven. Now we know he's talking about himself. But something he said in there is, he said he heard sounds that were unlawful for him to share, or something to that effect, right? I don't remember the exact verbiage. But it struck me that he didn't talk about what he saw. He didn't talk about what he smelled, what he tasted, what he felt. He talked about hearing something in heaven. And throughout Scripture, we're told that it's all about what you hear, all about the words, or the Word. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So your words, they mean something. And so when you share the Word, eventually that's going to stick. And it's up to whoever hears it as to whether they're going to accept it or reject it. And when they do, either one of those things, they're either going to be among the goats or among the sheep. So I hope to God that they're among the sheep, because I know that we are, and that's where we want to be. In future episodes here, in the next few weeks, I really want to talk about some of the fears and anxieties associated with what we're talking about, because there's a lot of people that react in different ways. Fear of the end times. Well, I don't want to miss out on this or that or this or that. We're going to talk about that kind of stuff too, because in the book of Revelation, it's not a hard book to understand, right, Mike? It comes with its own divine outline. And God lays out for us what's going to happen. And believe me, you don't want to be here for that. And you don't want to see your families, your loved ones go through that. So if you're thinking, well, I don't want to miss out on this or that. Well, sorry, but time's not up to us. And so none of us who is saved is going to regret being in heaven versus being here on earth and watching this or that occur. There's also other anxieties. Well, I thought it would have happened by now, and I'm struggling with it. And that's one that I have struggled with is, you know, you see the signs and you think, well, why hasn't it happened yet? And so you get weary. But I kind of realized recently that that's a selfish outlook, because if we're waiting on others to be saved, you know, God's grace is amazing. And how does the verse go, Josiah? He's not slacking, as some counts slackness or something like that. How does that verse go? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Right? So, if this had happened, you know, if the rapture had happened 6-7 years ago, I'm not 100% sure that I would have gone in it. But God was patient. He was long-suffering, and he waited for me. So how selfish of me to think that, okay, I'm saved, my family's saved, now we can go. There's others that need saved, and he's not done, and I'm not done. And there's other fears associated with the rapture that we'll talk about. But for now, I wanted to talk about Israel to begin with, because that's prophecy that's recent that we have seen fulfilled and is still being fulfilled. So I wanted to talk about that one first. Because throughout the Word of God, there is prophecy, as we study it, known as eschatology. We'll see that much of the Bible, some say a quarter, all the way up to a third of the Bible, is prophetic, and we may even find that it's even more than that when we get to heaven. But that's why we're going to study this, because it's in the Word. God told us what's going to happen, so that when it does happen, we'll look up and know our redemption draws near.
At verse you were talking about, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance.
Nice. So really, that's all I had for this week. Mike, you talked more than you thought you would. I appreciate that.
Well, just to throw a last piece of breadcrumb.
Yes.
Those of us that are listening to this, and you know, you might be on the fence of whether to follow Christ or not follow Christ, and you're watching current events unfold. And even for believers, when it comes to, I believe, Israel and prophecy and end times, we have to watch Israel, not America, not maybe a little bit of Russia. I think it has to do with it, you know, Gog and Magog. I shouldn't have mentioned those two words. You guys can handle that next time. But
no, you just owned it.
But
you brought it.
But just, you know, those of us that are listening to this, I was there once, you know, being a young Christian. You know, I was worried about America, what's going to happen in America. And then I realized, the more I studied the Word of God, America, if any, it's not mentioned. And you know, when we watch the news, we have to watch Israel and how Israel's going through. And those of us that are listening, please don't listen to some of the mainstream medias here in the United States. I'll leave it at that. There's other news sources out there that are more credible and reliable. And I think Josiah mentioned that if you don't know Amir Sarfati, he's a Messianic Jew out of Israel. He is on Telegram, and he you know, is practically on Telegram every single minute, almost like 24 hours a day, to get newsfeed. I'm sure he's got paid staff to do it, but look for Amir Sarfati. I think it spells with the T, right?
Yeah.
T-S-A.
And you can also look up Behold Israel.
Yeah. So I just want to throw that 2 cents out there for Christians that are like reluctant to listen to end times prophecy and all that. There's a lot of good pastors out there that are really good at what they're talking about. If you want to know about prophecy, John Wolvard, the late John Wolvard, his books are really good. Jack Hibbs, obviously, Amir. Brought a JD out in Hawaii. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
And Brett Metter, I realized he does once a month prophecy updates at his church at Athey Creek. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's it for me.
Is it, though? Is it? I'll do my best to attach some of these to the show notes here, with Amir, with the YouTube video that we referenced. I'll try to get some of that added to the show notes. And hopefully, Lord willing, we can give you guys some resources, some biblical references here, because prophecy can be scary if you're not looking at it through the lens of Scripture. Yeah. Okay. So we'll pick up next time and we'll tell you more things that are going to happen in the future. All right. Ending. Wait, we didn't pray. Who's praying? Josiah.
I'll pray. I was just waiting to give me my chance. Go. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you hold everything in your hand. Lord, nothing catches you off guard. And in this life, there's so much that could steal our attention, and our worries and our cares overwhelm us. And Lord, we're anxious. We're left wanting because we take our eyes off of you. Lord, would you help us to just focus back on who you are, the promises that you've given us as your children, grafted into the promises of your word. And Lord, knowing that you've got a plan for it all. Lord, you're not done with us, and you're not done with the children of Israel. And even though times might look like they're bare and you're not present, or there's pain and suffering in our life, you remain the same. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just out to each and every one who either watches it or hears this, that they would come to the realization that you are calling their name, and that you are drawing them to yourself, and that you have a hope and a purpose and a plan for their life. That they would live that, that they would just experience what you have for them in the fullness of it. And as we come to the end of the days of this earth, Lord, what a great and exciting time that is, knowing that we will one day be with you in heaven, worshiping you forever as you created it to be. And so, Lord, with anticipation, we say, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.
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 All right. Let's try this button. There we go. All right. We're out.